Today's scripture readings are from Mark chapter 4, verses 26 through 29, and Tao Te Ching chapter 18. I'll first read the parable of the growing seed from Mark 4, 26 to 29. Jesus said, "This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground, night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows. Though he does not know how, all by itself the soil produces grain, first the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel of the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it, because the harvest has come." Tao Te Ching, chapter 18. When the great Tao is forgotten, kindness and morality arise. When wisdom and intelligence are born, the great pretense begins. When there is no peace within the family, filial piety and devotion arise. When the country is confused and in chaos, loyal ministers appear. Thus ends the reading.
This this stole belonged to Ford Kaufman. I worked with Ford briefly when I think I was in college at Central Union Church, and Gene Kaufman gave it to me. I guess he wanted me to have it, and so I couldn't pass up the opportunity of wearing it today. So good morning, Crossroaders. How's everybody doing? Let's begin with a brief prayer. If you please join me in a prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. It's an honor to be here with you all this morning and to have been invited to provide the sermon today. One of the things that makes Crossroads so special is this tradition of having an open pulpit and letting so many different people share their stories. I remember hearing, other than our ministers that we've had, Frank Ward up here, Mary Catherine Barnes, Emmett Aluli, Ed Gerlach from the Philippines, so many different stories and perspectives. I also like how some mornings we would come here and the chairs would be arranged in a circle and we wouldn't even have a preacher. We would just have a theme and everybody would be able to participate. There's always such an openness to creative expression here at Crossroads and letting all the different voices be heard. We are all here living the life that we've been gifted with, living our own journeys of faith. So let me begin by sharing a little bit about my faith journey so far. I grew up in Kailua, just a few blocks away from the Ulupo He'iau, the He'iau that our Chuck Burrows helped to restore and bring back to life. And we used to play there as kids when it was surrounded by weeds. There was no signs anywhere. And we used to catch crayfish in the little freshwater ponds. My father was nominally Buddhist, like many people of his generation, and went along with my mom's slightly stronger religious ties to Christianity. So we were raised in the church. I was baptized and confirmed at Central Union Church, just down the street, the church where Kahu David also comes from. When I was in high school, there was a man there named Harry Otsuji, a man that was about my father's age, who became born again. Anybody here born again? Yeah, praise the Lord. Mr. Otsuji brought in someone else who was born again to share his testimony with us high schoolers. And the story that he shared was one that I will never forget. It broke through all the shoddy barricades of my teenage heart and led me on a path of these nightly prayers. I wanted to be born again and to have that vital, real connection with God. So I remember saying the Lord's Prayer every night, most every night, and really trying to focus and concentrate because the prayer seemed so long, and I would do all I could to just get through it. We all have our different stories of faith and how we got here, why we are here, and it's so interesting, and I love hearing all the different stories that people have to share. Okay, I have an audience participation question. So please get ready with your buzzers. What are the opening lines of the novel in Anna Karenina? Very close. Mark Wilson, you know the line? Something like that. All unhappy in the, yes. All right. Yes. My understanding of this and why I'm bringing this up is that happiness is not all that interesting. It's the struggles and the conflicts that make things so much more dynamic and personal and unique. And so too with our faith stories. The journeys that we are on to understand ourselves, understand our relationship with the world, our place in the world, the people that have helped us along the way, the people that have caused us pain and hardships, all that goes into these dynamic stories that we are living. Not too long after hearing the word of God that Harry Otsuji's friend shared, I attended a Bible study, also in high school, that was at Central Union Church. And the leader of the Bible study was a guy named Nolly Smith. And I don't know if anybody knows Nolly Smith. I think he was a standout football player. And I think his father also was a Paniola or something like that. But anyway, Nolly Smith was the Bible study teacher, and we happened to be studying 1 John. And there's a passage in 1 John chapter 4 that says, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God." So I asked Nolly if that means that there are other ways of knowing God other than through Jesus. Nolly said, "No, there isn't." I said, "But it says in 1 John, everyone that loves knows God." And he said, "Well, goats are always butting, but this, but that. And God is going to separate the goats from the sheep. The sheep are going to go to their eternal reward, and the goats are going to go to their eternal punishment." Nolly also had a phrase of saying, "You don't want to go to heaven. You don't want to get into heaven with burnt wings." I really like Nolly. I didn't agree with him, but I really like the way that he liked to phrase things. Okay, everybody know what month this is? Yes, it's October. And what is happening in October? Yes, it's Pride Month. Any LGBTQ folks in the house this morning? Yeah. God loves us all. We are all beloved of God. It's wonderful for us here, here at Crossroads, to be an open and affirming church. We celebrate diversity in all forms and are bold in proclaiming God's inclusive love for all. And on that note, I want to come out of the closet this morning. Is everyone holding their breaths? You know how I was saying that Nolly was telling me that the only way to know God is through Jesus? I am publicly coming out of the closet this morning to confess that I believe Christianity does not have an exclusive hold on the truth, and that there are myriad numbers of ways for people to know God and live lives of incredible faith. That feels so good to say, I want to say it again. Christianity does not have an exclusive hold on the truth. There are many different ways to know God and love God and to live lives of incredible faith. I might be a little late to the party here, but I guess I'm finally beginning to see that there is a direct correlation between the church as a well-established institution and this exclusive Jesus is the only way doctrine. It is probably one of the greatest and most tragic ironies that the church that is based on Jesus's life and teachings have perpetuated this exclusivistic view of salvation. It's a travesty. It's a complete perversion of everything that Jesus stood for. But it's also completely predictable. It is all based on that familiar human desire for power and control. And what is more controlling than claiming that you know the fate of a person's soul? That you have the formula and that all that power resides in your hands. It is so ironic because it doesn't take too close of a reading of the Gospels that Jesus was absolutely not saying these things. And once you do delve deeper into the scriptures, it becomes even more clear how careful and insistent Jesus was to steer his followers away from this massive fallacy. In the book of Matthew, Jesus says to his disciples, "You know that the rulers in this world lord it over their people, and officials flaunt their authority over those under them. But among you, it will be different." In the book of Mark, there is a progressive undermining of all the important social institutions by Jesus. By the church, the religious institutions, by the political structures, the economic structures, even the family. Jesus heals on the Sabbath. He breaks bread with sinners and tax collectors. He reaches out and touches lepers. He even disses his own mother, who wants Jesus to stop his nonsense and come home. "Who is my brother and who are my siblings?" Jesus asked the crowd. "Those that do God's will are my mothers and my siblings." Jesus' love for God and for people was so strong, he would not let any institution set their inevitable limits on him. In keeping with our theme of inclusivity, another famous anti-institutional, anti-authoritarian was Lao Tzu, the author of the Tao Te Ching. Lao Tzu's understanding of the Tao, that animating force that is intricately linked in all of nature, it led him also to be deeply critical of so many constructs of society and civilization. So we just heard, when the great Tao is forgotten, kindness and morality arise. When wisdom and intelligence are born, the great pretense begins. He is being critical of these things that seem very good. But it's this flip side of Lao Tzu's really deep affinity with nature and with the Tao. He saw nature as having such perfection, such effortless power and beauty and grace, that all the things that people come up with in their societies to justify what they're doing pretty much always falls short. And we know the famous saying of Lao Tzu, the Tao that can be spoken is not the real Tao. Well, how then do you speak about the Tao? Any guesses? Well, one way is in parables. And we heard Jesus say, one of Jesus's parables, this is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. First the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. I like to think of this as the bedrock truth of our faith. This wonderful, mysterious, animating power and fertility that God has infused in creation. Night and day, whether she sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows. Jesus also used a parable saying that the kingdom of God is like yeast with its power to make bread rise. Here too is that very simple, very everyday, yet still phenomenal and unfathomable action that takes place. What is it that is driving the yeast? What is it that is driving the seed? On a larger social scale, God is the driving force that brought the Israelites out of Egypt, out of bondage. God is the driving force that again and again calls the powerful to account for the ransacking of the poor and the vulnerable. God is the driving force in the prophets who can say to King David, "You are that man." God is the driving force in all people's struggles to overcome bondages of all kinds, in the civil rights movement, in the women's movement, in the gay rights movement. Those two are forces of nature, a natural outpouring that breaks down institutionally imposed limits. My own anti-institutional ways was found a wonderful place to grow about 20 years ago when I discovered Ho'a'aina o Makaha, a 5-acre educational farm that was started by a Catholic priest named Gigi Kokyo. He started the farm in 1979, and he lived and worked on the farm up until just about 2 months ago. So he was there for 43 years. And he was the driving force also, but he also did it with Ed Gerlach, with Eric Enos, with Sister Anna McEnany, with Ho'oipo DiCambra, with Pu'anani Burgess, all these people that came together to make Ho'aina Omakaha, the land shared in friendship. It was dedicated as a pu'u honua, a place of refuge. It was dedicated as a nuclear-free zone. It was a place that housed a peace center, a women's support group, a learning center for schools that could come from all around the island and learn how to take care of the land and take care of each other. And it was because of that place and of the people that I met there that I wanted to do a similar project. So I remember meeting with Kathy Maddox early on and going over to Bubby's and talking about this and trying to figure things out. And she was saying, well, what about the budget? What are you going to do? And I went, but we persevered along with Judy Kern and Rana Rita and now Aya to form Mohala Farms. And like Ho'aina, it's a place of refuge. It's a place where we grow healthy food. It's a place to care for the land and for each other. It's a place to learn from the earth in so many different ways. Feel like we're just scratching the surface. It's a place to dream. It's a place to rise up. Thank you, Crossroaders, for your love, your prayers, and your support. Thank you for allowing me to share these thoughts and beliefs with you. This is a blessed place. Let us keep up the good work. Amen.